Okay, let's recommence. I think Bonnie and Fei Long are back on the line now. And I believe our next contestant is April.
Yes, that's right.
For paper six.
Agenda paper six. Now, agenda paper six relates to two commissions that were first discussed at the November meeting. In each example, a structured entity is being created to lease a single asset to a single lessee. In one submission, the lease is an operating lease, and in the other, it's a finance lease. The submitter whose example related to an operating lease asked whether the lessee should consolidate, and the submitter of the finance lease example asked whether the lender should consolidate. In both cases, the decision would be based on an assessment of which entity has power over the relevant activities of the special entity, structured entity. In March, we discussed the comment letters received on the tentative agenda decision, including a number of points raised in the comment letters that had previously been discussed at the November meeting. And at the March meeting, you asked that the tentative agenda decision be extended to include that discussion and brought to this meeting for re-exposure as a tentative agenda decision. The extended tentative agenda decision appears as Appendix A to this paper, and the additional that you asked
have joined the conference.
The additional arguments you asked to be included are subparagraphs A to C of that tentative agenda decision. Have you got any comments or suggestions on the wording of the tentative agenda decision?
Bruce?
Thanks. Yeah, I just had one comment, and I think I shared it with April, if we still bring it up, was just in the third last paragraph. It says the Interpretations Committee concluded that it did not have sufficient information about the specific fact patterns, and it goes on that. I kind of didn't really think we needed that sentence. So the only reason I say that is because if you read the next paragraph, it says that we've discussed it, and our view is that we think that the guidance is sufficient to draw a conclusion. So all I'd suggest was just deleting the first line of the third last paragraph, and I'd keep in that one that says it also notes that we don't give a case by case, and putting that at the end. But I just felt we didn't need, you know, when you start talking about that kind of thing, we're saying, I just get worried when we say, well, we don't have sufficient information about the specific facts and circumstances, whereas deep down, even if we'd had more facts and circumstances, we probably would have still said we think it was 10 gives the answer. So.
Sign of an individual's intelligence is the degree to which he agrees with my view. So. I had highlighted, actually, I'd take out both sentences, but I'm happy.
Yeah,
the first sentence is the one I think that's more offensive. Andrew?
I agree with the analysis and the overall approach. Just a couple of comments on the wording for the agenda decision itself. I'll start with subparagraph B. I mean, I felt to say that you could have control if you've got 51% of the voting rights is a little too obvious to be helpful. And actually, we are dealing here with a structured entity, so therefore an entity for which voting rights are not the mechanism through which control is exercised. So I think if we can't think of a sort of more helpful circumstance in which you might have control, we might just delete that one. Subparagraph A is a sort of slightly vague assertion that you probably don't have control. We don't really say why. And I think the original question was mainly focused on whether or not the use of the asset would, it's not a relevant activity, is going beyond the consensus of this committee, but I do feel more generally it would be more helpful if we could give some indication as to why use of the asset would not most likely give you control.
Okay, just going on around, Charlotte. I thought the point here was that we look for something that is, for lack of a better word, more generic or less facts and circumstances driven, that we don't give opinions on individual structuring questions.
I agree with that, although obviously in other circumstances,
we do go to more specific things, but I don't actually, I personally don't think the principles in IFRS 10 enable you to answer this, but it's a question of when do you regard decisions about an asset as being pertinent? Do they depend on whether the asset is in the vehicle for accounting reasons, outside of the vehicle for accounting reasons, its legal status, etc.? There's a whole raft of questions around it, which we, I think, skirted around.
So, board member privilege.
My one is, I think, a wording thing rather than a substantive one. I hope so. In the first paragraph, the first sentence in subparagraph C, it says that the committee noted that an entity would consider all the rights that it has in relation to the investee to determine whether it has power over the investee, which I agree with. But then at the end of the next sentence, it says, as well as rights that may be included within the lease contract, but that go beyond simply providing the lessee with the right to use the asset. I don't think IFRS 10 tells you that you can exclude considering particular rights. I think the committee said that they didn't think those rights would usually give you the power that we're looking for, but I don't think you went so far as to say you wouldn't think about them.
Point taken. John?
A couple of comments. They were similar to Andrew's. I mean, I think in A, I think it would be helpful to sort of say why we might consider that the right to use the asset is not relevant. And we did have this sort of discussion and concluded that, but we don't actually say that. So we've added some text here, but we don't actually say why. In B, I had a similar observation on the 51%. It doesn't seem to really add anything to the notion that, of course, you can always control a lessee, I mean, through other means. The question here really is to what extent the lease agreement itself or the right to use the asset is relevant to the control decision. So I wouldn't have provided the example. I know we're trying to not preclude that you can have control. I don't think the example actually adds anything.
That's two sentences.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to run through the two changes you're proposing again? I was temporarily distracted.
Well, it was more to clarify, in the first sentence in A, it says it was of the view that having the right to use an asset for a period of time in and of itself would not be expected to give a lessee decision-making rights that would provide power over the lessor, even when the lessor's only asset is an underlying asset. But it doesn't sort of say why. It's an expectation without saying why we expect that.
Would you want a fuller explanation of relevant activity then?
Well, I think that would be sort of helpful in explaining why that was our expectation. So we don't explain, we sort of say we had this expectation, but we don't say why we had that expectation.
Because I think we thought that because relevant activity significantly affect the investor's returns.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I think we thought that because significant relevant activities are those that significantly affect the investor's returns. In the case of a lease, you'd have two assets that would affect that return for the lessor. You'd have the right to the receivable and you'd have the residual interest. But we don't think that either of those are likely to be directed by the lessee itself.
Yeah.
So that the right of use wouldn't actually give you direction over the relevant activities.
Yep.
So is that the sort of wording?
Yeah, I think that would be very. I think to me that was very helpful in the agenda.
Okay, we'll do that. Trent.
Sorry, should I be on?
Oh yes, your mic should be on.
Sorry, and only just to clarify a point. Then, if you think it's worth clarifying, just to add to that, then is that. I think we'd say, look, in sort of regardless of whether the lease ends up being classified as a finance lease or an operating lease by the lessor, still in any transaction where the lessor enters into a lease, is almost substituted that kind of direct interest in the underlying and instead has actually got, you know, exposure to credit risk on a stream of lease payments that are a lease receivable and exposure on the residual. Does that just make sense that if we're clarifying...
Have left the conference.
We clarify that is kind of regardless of how the lease ends up getting classified and accounted for.
That would be consistent with the discussions, was that the lease classification was not relevant to the determination of control. So
I agree with that, by the way. I just wanted to check that you were all comfortable with We did.
Tony?
Actually, not much to add. I shared the concerns that others had. I think if we extend the words in sub-bullet A, I'm not sure we need the final sentence, which seems to be giving a perspective, using the word unlikely. It's either repeating what's been said before, or it's making a statement about the facts, and I think if we've got the extra words, we don't need it. And yeah, I share the same concerns about parent and subsidiary, that we could probably do without the last two sentences there, but otherwise happy with where the staff's got to.
Philippe, board member privilege.
Yeah, small wording issue. Seems to me that we have two requests for clarification with two different fact patterns. One, operating lease, one finance lease, and one question is whether the lessee may or should consolidate the SPE that has the asset. The second question is whether the lender, i.e. the lessor, should consolidate the SPE. And then we're going saying in discussing this issue, I'm not sure whether it's not these issues, because I think there are two different fact patterns and two different analyses maybe. So.
Okay. Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to the others in terms of just clarifying under A as to why it's our view that it wouldn't give the lessee decision-making rights or power irrespective of whether it's an operating or finance lease. So I think if those additional words are in there, that would be helpful.
Martin?
I also agree on adding additional words in A. However, I have the principal question whether is it really necessary to re-expose that as a tentative agenda decision, because I believe the conclusion is not that different than before. It's just a slight changing in the wording, and we also had in former times issues where we also had no re-exposure. For example, imagine our discussion on negative interest. We also had no re-exposure on that and similar cases. So I guess we have to go back in history and see how it fits to other decisions we have done in the past. I see no real reason. Probably I'm the only one. I don't know, but...
I was going to ask the question separately because I have the same same concern. Okay, we've got a bunch of wording changes. You have them under control.
I think so.
And Petrina, you'll see them and update. Now the question is, do we need or are we bound to re-expose? We used to say at the board level that we would re-expose if we thought that by doing something we would learn something new, which is maybe a little arrogant, but just a little. But we've talked around and over and under this one an awful lot. If we re-expose it, is there an expectation that something will appear that we didn't know about before? If not, then I think I'm with Martin. I'm not persuaded that we need to re-expose this. But I will put myself at your mercy on this. It's the committee's decision to make. John?
No, I just have a question. Not a direct answer to your question, but a question about, to Philippe's point, about the two fact patterns. I mean, does the current wording in the agenda decision adequately cover the lenders, the question of the junior lenders' control? Because we're really talking about the right to use the asset. And we have combined these agenda. I mean, these were separate agenda decisions, and we've combined them now into one agenda decision. So whether we're... And we've expanded our commentary on the right to use the asset and its relevance to the decision, but we haven't actually expanded any discussion about the lender's relationship with the entity.
But I think if we put in the expanded discussion about the relevant activities and what the two assets are that are left in the structured entity, then you could just assess that from the point of view of does the lender direct either of those?
Simple show of hands. Who wants to re-expose? Why am I not surprised?
Sorry to be the outlier. The only reason I would suggest re-exposing it is only because, as we've said, we've given a steer as to whether the lessee's use of the leased asset is a relevant activity. We didn't say any of that before. And so I think, given that we basically said before it depends on the facts, I would have thought that's some might view that as a not insignificant change in the focus of the agenda decision. So that's my only concern.
Okay. I had one vote for re-exposed. Do I now have two votes for re-exposed? Three votes. What am I here for? Okay. I don't think we need to re-expose this one. But as Bruce said, let's get it done. Oh, I forgot to even ask Bonnie and Fei Long if they wanted to weigh in on that.
I would vote no re-exposure, and I'm okay with there was nothing else that I was going to add that hadn't already been mentioned by some of the other members.
Okay. My apologies. All right. Okay.